So I saw a lot of interesting things during the break. I saw people laughing together and high-fiving and doing cool handshakes and loving on each other. Saw somebody just about take somebody out. That was kind of interesting. They were running by and he reached back and got him around the neck and just about took him down. That was cool. If you want to do that in Jesus' name, that's fine as well. Just make sure you pick him up and pray for him and deliver them, whatever you need to do. So, God is good. And all the time. Man, I haven't heard anybody do that in forever, so I thought I'd do it. Spur of the moment. Yeah, it's good. So, my name is Sean McCracken. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. Hi, Scott. I'm the lead team pastor, and we are very glad that you're here with us. If this is your first time, or if maybe there's somebody else here that didn't want to raise your hand because you were afraid of what would happen, we are so thankful that you are here, and for everybody, we always say this, but we mean it. We pray that God would penetrate our hearts, that he would speak words to us that would bring life. Amen? And so that's for all of us. Every week, we talk about our circles of discipleship. Here they are, all five of them. Last week, or the week before, actually, I gave away a prize for anybody who came up with all five. I'm going to do that again soon, so you can be, you know, prepping and studying, because last time it didn't go so well. Don't embarrass me, is what I'm saying. But this morning, I want to talk about Get Life, stepping into community, and you know, if you've been here more than 2 weeks in a row, that we are very passionate about our life groups that meet throughout the week. They are different ones. I mean, you might get together to play sports or to do a common interest, or you might get together and do an in-depth Bible study, get together and pray and eat together. There's all kinds. We've got a list, and we also are very, very, very open to you starting a new one. Just let me Brenda know about that, and we'll set it up. We'll get the word out, and you will have a great group. But I also wanted to talk this morning, it's not just about life groups. One of the things that we want to do as a church and as a body of believers, as a family, is impart life to one another. The life of Christ. And in order to impart life, you must first have life, right? And so that's an important part of our discipleship process, part of this church, and not just this church, the church at large. Jesus wants us to experience life and for us to have it more abundantly. So it's very important to us. We're continuing our study in the book of Acts. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. We are only going through four verses today. Who's excited about that? I don't know if I should be offended or what with that, but I'm excited as well. You're excited because we can really go in depth on those four verses, right? That's why you, yeah. That's how I choose to take it anyway. I want to talk about resurrection existence this morning. And unfortunately, sometimes we only think or talk about resurrection on Easter. So let me welcome you to Easter Sunday. We need to talk about the resurrection. We need to understand the resurrection daily. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is the living God. He's living within you. There's some messages where I think we all need a kick in the pants, right? We all need to be spurred on to do more, to be more, to just More. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. And sometimes the Word of God does say that to us as we read it. And also as a body, we need to encourage each other to do more. But this morning, I want to encourage us to be more. I'm speaking to you as a recovering workaholic. And the easiest thing for me is to just do more. When I feel like there's just not enough in my life, things aren't working out the way that I thought they would, with a relationship, with a task, whatever it is, to just man up and, you know, tie my boots tighter and do more. But that's not always the answer. In fact, it's almost never the answer. So this morning, as we talk about resurrection for you personally, how it applies to your life, how it applies to my life, it's truly an identity issue. It's an identity issue. Who we are in Christ, who we are allowing Christ to be in us and through us. It's not always do more. I apologize if I or anyone else ever make you feel guilty that you're not doing enough. If it's conviction from the Holy Spirit, then I do not apologize. But if you feel condemnation, that's not of God. We need to press into God. And if that's doing something, that's okay. He says that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So diligently seeking Him is an okay thing to do. But sometimes we try to make it happen in our own power, our own strength, our own might. He just wants us to be. He wants us to experience His love. So it's an identity issue for us this morning. The resurrection, what it means to us, is our identity. If you look over at this cross on my right, your left, you see a bunch of masks on there. Don't be alarmed. We're not celebrating Halloween. Also, don't be alarmed. It's not a totem pole or anything like that. Last weekend, a group of leaders got together and we did a thing called personal wholeness, where we talk about strongholds and issues that are in our lives, fears that we deal with, and how we can be set free from them, both for ourselves, but also so that we can be more effective ministers of the gospel to other people. And the mask was an exercise that we did. On the front of the mask is what other people see or what we want them to see. So there's good stuff and there's even sometimes negative stuff on there. And then on the other side of the mask is things that we actually are, the things that we're struggling with, the things that we're dealing with, perhaps even the things that we're hiding from others. So it's not on the outside that people can see, it's on the inside. The reason they're nailed to the cross is for a demonstration for our hearts, for our minds, to see that everything that we are now, good, bad, and indifferent, is nailed to the cross, that we die. We die in Christ Jesus. And so, during the message, I just want you to glance over there once in a while and maybe see your own mask, see your own face over there, see your own life, that it's nailed to the cross, that part of the gospel message is that we die in Christ. But also part of the gospel message we're going to look at this morning is we're alive in Christ. We are resurrected from the dead. Amen. We should be getting happy. We should be getting excited. I know that there's so many people in here this morning, myself included, that's struggling with different things. Maybe you feel death. Death physically or financially or emotionally or maybe relationally. That there's relationships in our lives. Maybe in your home. Your marriage seems like it's dying. Seems like it's not as strong as it should be, could be. God has new life for us, and we have to step into our identity in Christ. We have to step into that new life. So without further ado, Acts chapter 4, we're going to read the first four verses. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Remember, they had just healed the lame man at the gate Beautiful. They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Walking miracle, he was over 40 years old, had always been lame, was always carried to the gate Beautiful so that he could be asking alms. And this miraculous thing happened and he held on to them. He walked into the temple, the same temple that he was not allowed to go into before. Now he goes in jumping and laughing and screaming that he was healed. Verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Wow, so we start the book of Acts with 120 in an upper room. And they're waiting on the Holy Spirit. They're waiting on the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes. Peter, emboldened, preaches his first sermon. 3,000 souls are won that day. then they heal this lame man, and everybody comes around. They see that this guy's different, and 2,000 or so come back into the kingdom as well. So now we're up to about 5,000. Could mean everyone. It could mean just the men. So that means women and children perhaps weren't even counted. In other words, it was a big group of people that were won to the Lord. This was the start of the New Testament church. It's very important that we look at what is the gospel and how was it preached in the first church. How many people want to see the things that we see in the book of Acts? Then, yes. Then that means we also need to preach what they preached. This is what they preached. This was the first sermon that Peter gave the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 14 through verses 41. He said, "You killed Jesus." As Pastor Scott talked about last week, he mentioned that was popular, obviously. That's how you win friends, is you tell them you killed somebody. "You killed Jesus," but what does that mean to us? We weren't actually the ones, but we also killed Jesus. We were guilty of the sin that he bore. And that is an integral part of the gospel message that we share with people. Don't be afraid to point out sin in someone's life. Don't be afraid, not maybe as soon as you meet them, say you're going to hell. Please don't do that. But don't be afraid. Don't think it's going to somehow damage them or offend them. Offend them in Jesus' name if you need to. They're guilty of the sin, just as I am, that Christ bore. And he also said, and then he was resurrected. He didn't just die. He didn't just stay in the tomb. He was resurrected. He came back to life. He also covered that Jesus was Lord. He talked about repentance, that repenting from our sin, turning of 360. Instead of sinning, turn from your sin and turn to God. Baptism, forgiveness of sins, and he talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter's second sermon was chapter 3, verses 11 through 26, we've been covering the last couple of weeks. Here again, he pointed out very directly that you killed Jesus, guilty of the sin that he bore, and that he was resurrected. Then he pointed to this man. This man was healed by faith in Jesus. He talked about repentance again. Forgiveness of sins. He talked about times of refreshing will come from the Holy Spirit once we repent of our sins. He said that all of the prophets that they were very familiar with, at least the Jewish people that were there, foretold this event happening. And then he said, "I was sent to turn you from wickedness to the things of God." This was his second sermon. Right now we're in the midst of his third sermon. He's just about to get ramped up, Peter. And again, what he covers is, you killed Jesus, he was resurrected, and salvation is through no other name. What are the constants of the three sermons? Yeah, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes we tell people that Jesus died for their sins, and that's great, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to serve a dead king. I want to serve a living God. And so if we just stop at he died for your sins, it's very true and that is good news. But even better news is then he was resurrected. There's new life in Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's kind of the basis that we have to understand about resurrection. Before we go any further, before we apply it to our own lives, is that we realize it was a staple of the early church. Whenever they opened their mouths about Jesus, it was always Jesus crucified and resurrected. Always. So let's talk about resurrection. Resurrection is the promise of eternal life after our physical death for all those who put their trust in Jesus. Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That we are assured, this is the hope of our salvation, that when we die, in this life, our physical bodies die, we will be with the Lord. And in fact, even in the end days, our bodies will be reunited with the Lord. There is resurrection. That when Jesus was resurrected, Scripture tells us that he was the first fruits of all those who would be resurrected. That there's new life for us. Think about the cross again. What are the things that you've already died to? What are the things that God is telling you right now, maybe even in this moment, to die to? For there to be resurrection, there must be death. We must die in Christ before we live in Christ. We've heard the saying, he died for us, I will live for him, right? Are we taking it to heart, though? Resurrection means life. Life after death. What I'm trying to impart to you this morning is life. That in the midst of the death around us, maybe in our homes, maybe at the workplace, maybe just our community, our country, in the midst of the death, there is life. There's life that we maybe aren't concentrating on. And this does not just concern the future. We do have the hope of our salvation that we will be with the Father when we die. But we have to understand that resurrection life is available to us now. Do you remember when Lazarus died and came to his two sisters, Mary and Martha, and he said, "Do you believe that he will live again?" Do you remember what Martha said? "Yes, I believe in the end day that he will be resurrected." And Jesus responded with this, "Today, I am the resurrection and the life." So this morning, I say to you in your situation, in my situation, today, he is the resurrection and the life. It's not just when we pass from this earth. He's the resurrection and the life for your situation, for my identity, for your identity today. Galatians 2:20 says this very well. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I've died to my old self. Everything that used to be important to me, I've died to. I've crucified it in Christ Jesus. And it is no longer I who live." Let me just park there for a minute. Can we boldly proclaim that statement? And mean it. I think all of us can boldly proclaim it, but do we really mean it? Are we really doing that? Again, this is an identity issue. It's not I who live, it is Christ who lives within me. Have you seen bumper stickers and tags that says, "God is my co-pilot"? I get it. It's quaint, it's nice, it's sweet. But man, that puts me in the pilot chair with him. Are we living our life and then saying, "God, can you sign off? Can you approve of this, of what I've chosen to do?" That puts us in the driver's seat. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, we still live in this flesh, we still live in this body, we are still subject to decay, we are still subject to death, we are still subject to temptations that they cause us to stumble and sin. We are still in this life. We're still in this flesh. But that does not define us. That's nailed to the cross. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Ultimately, it's a love story. Why do we enjoy movies so much? Even, you know, movies where you blow heads off and it's an action movie. Because it's still a love story. Guy still gets the girl. Good still triumphs over evil. It's a love story. And ultimately what we're talking about is not doing more. It's being more in Christ Jesus. Realizing the life that is within us. Present within us. Resurrection life that is within us. But in order for that to explode, there must first be death. Death of me. Death of you. Resurrection is truly transformation. You were once dead, now you're alive. You were once in this state, now you're in a different state. We need to have that transformation as well. That truly is resurrection existence. Inherent in the word life is the idea of activity. Life is that which moves. running water in Scripture is called living water. You might automatically be saying, whoa, activity, you said being, not doing. I'm talking about the life in Christ. He's doing. He's always active. Are we allowing Him to be active? Are we allowing Him to be the living water in our lives? The oath that you read a lot in the Old Testament especially, as the Lord lives, then they would make an oath. That stresses that God is the God who speaks and acts because He is the living God. That's what distinguishes God from any other gods. He's alive. Jesus is alive. One more time. Jesus is alive. If we could just get a hold of that, not just as a concept, but as a life-changing entity that lives within us, that Jesus is alive, then our situations that seem so big, that seem like they're going to kill us, we realize there's actually life within us. Acts 17:28, which we'll get to in 3 years, says this: for in Him we live and move and exist. In Him we exist. That's this existence I want to talk about. How is your existence now? Maybe I'm asking you on a good day, and you could say, it's all right. Maybe I'm asking you in a bad day, and you realize, oh, wow, life stinks. Our existence doesn't have to be that way. And listen, people, this isn't about prosperity. This isn't about that. The life more abundantly that Jesus promised in John 10:10 was not about abundant money. Otherwise, He wouldn't have said to the farmer who had a big bumper crop that tore down his barn to build a bigger one, He wouldn't have said, today, your soul is required of you. It's about abundant life in Him, the life of Him, not in what we're doing, but what He is doing, the activity that is within us through Jesus. That's our resurrection existence. Do we really embrace that resurrection existence that's within us? And it's not just at salvation. That's where we miss it. And perhaps maybe even that's where sometimes the same people keep running up to the altar to rededicate their life, because they're not really living in this resurrection existence. It's new life, not a new moment. New life. You guys heard the amazing testimony about my mom, completely healed of cancer. Stage 4 cancer, yeah. Stage 4 cancer. When we heard it, we thought instant death. I must admit, I went into like a depressive state and trying to call out to God, and there was just a part of me that couldn't, or maybe I should say wouldn't. I don't know. But I want to, even though it's awesome, we need to keep celebrating miracles within us. I want to talk about now, though. She's different. I talked with my dad this week on the phone, and he said, you should see your mother. She's like a different person. She's walking around. She's doing the things she couldn't do, and she's wearing a tight shirt. I'm like, whoa, Dad, TMI, man. That's great for you, but... She realized something. She realized that she had new life. She basically wasn't giving up. She was fighting, but yet she was mopey. The things that there are and maybe still wrong in her physical body were just more pronounced. She was concentrating on them more. Now that she realizes, I'm not going to die of cancer. She's still going to die just as I am, just as you are. But I'm not going to die as soon as I thought I would. She has new life. And she's embracing that new life. And she's getting out of the house now and walking around and going to the store and doing those things. So my question to you is, what if we realized we have new life? Because you do. You were once dying of cancer called sin, and now you're not. Now I'm not. Are we going to embrace that? What if we really did? What would change in our lives? How would our identity change? Not just in the things that we're doing. Again, please hear me. This is not a message of go out there and do it. Go, go, go. Win one for the Gipper. That's not what this is about. It's realizing that we have this resurrection life within us. That we can be more, that we are more, that the death around us isn't as important as we think it is. That it is an unworthy foe. Greater is he that lives within us than he that lives within the world. He who lives within us is the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So what if we really embrace that? What would change in your life? What would change in your marriage? What would change with your relationship with your kids? What would change with your relationship with your boss? How would you respond to your boss? Romans 8, 9 through 11 says this in the Message paraphrase. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, if God has taken up residence in your life, raise your hand. Okay, so this verse is for you and me. You can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Paul says this as just a matter of fact. It's not, well, don't you think it should be like this? No, he said, if he's taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you, who still, where am I at? Welcome him, thank you. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. God as the pilot, you're not in the co-pilot seat. It's on his terms. His terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, and he did, at salvation, he moved into your life. He'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. You are delivered from that dead life. This is an identity issue. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. The resurrected King is within us. Wow. Do we have resurrection existence? Do we live within that? That new life? Or are we dwelling on the death? Are we allowing the death to have a hold on us? Are we allowing his resurrection life to have a hold of us? Resurrection is not me creating my own life and giving God the approval or getting God's approval for it. It's not that. It is Jesus and the power of his Spirit in me working his life through me. That's what it is. It's not about being perfect. That's not about doing more. It's about being more. It's about realizing this is who I am in Christ Jesus. This is who Christ Jesus is in me. The living God who pours out living water from our innermost being. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me, living means living for Christ. What does living mean for you? For Paul, it was, if I'm going to live, I'm going to live for Christ. If he takes me now, that's even better because then I get to see him face to face. It's a win-win. Are you looking at your life as a win-win? Guys, I'm sure you're like me. There's been times in my life where I just prayed for the rapture. Please take me out of this life. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do what Paul prayed. What Paul communicated to us in Philippians. That if I'm here, I am living for Jesus. Woo! If I die, bigger. Woo! please live in this resurrection existence. It will make the things you do, because it is important that we do things. It says they will know us by our fruit. There is something that we are called to do, but it becomes natural. It's not forced. It's not the law. It's not a requirement. It's something we get to do because we're experiencing this resurrection life. Last scripture, and then I'll have the band come up. You guys can go ahead and make your way up if you will. 2 Corinthians 5:17, very familiar scripture. I want to point out a few words that maybe, at least one word that maybe we tend to just gloss over. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, within his death and resurrection, he is a new creation. Can I just say that to you this morning? It's so simple that sometimes we miss it. We make it too difficult. We try to make it too complex. The simplicity of the gospel is this. You are new because of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, the things you're worrying about, the things that you were, the things that you were yesterday, the things that you were 5 minutes ago, have passed away. They're gone, they're dead, they're nailed on the cross. Behold. Behold. Word we gloss over. You know what behold means? If you look it up, it means to gaze upon. To take hold. Guys, we have this resurrection life. I'm not telling you anything new. This is not a new doctrine. This is not a new spin on this doctrine. This is what you and I have already. But what you and I are not doing is we're not beholding it. We're not gazing upon it. We're not taking hold of it. We're not capturing it. Behold, all things have become new. I want you to gaze upon that. I want you to take hold of that. Behold, all things have become new. As the band plays, I want you to experience resurrection existence. This morning, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want you to come forward and do that now. If you have in the past and you've just had a resurrection experience, but not a resurrection life, I want you to come forward too and rededicate your life and say, this is it. No more am I living for me. I'm now living for Him. If that's you, come on up. I'd like to ask the response team to come up and pray for you. Come on, guys, move. Move. We have our move. We have our existence within Christ Jesus, and He's calling you now to a deeper life, to a better life. It's an identity issue. He wants to be alive in you. He wants living water to flow out of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for new life, Lord, and behold, all things have become new. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the love story that we have. And that you are so passionate in love with us, even in our sin, that you died for us. And God, we thank you that as the living God, you lived again. God, you were resurrected and you are alive in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives right now. Thank you, God, that you are the resurrection and the life. Lord, I pray that that would transform us like never before, that we would behold it. In Jesus' name.